The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam. First Canto, Chapter Number 17, Text Number 20. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari. Recorded on December 15th, 2014, in Pretoria, South Africa.
Om Namo Bhagavate. Vasudevaya.
Om Namo
Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Apratarkhyat,
Anirdeshyat,
Iti,
Keshu,
Api,
Nishchaya,
Atra,
Anurupam,
Raja
Rishe,
Vimrisha,
Sva,
Manishaya,
Apratarkadanirdeshyad
Itikeshvapinishchaya
Atranurupan
Rajarshe
Vimrishasvadbanishaya
Apratarkadanirdeshyad
Itikeshvapinishchaya
Atranurupam
Rajarshe
Vimrishasvadmanishchaya.
Atraparkyat,
beyond the power of reasoning,
Anirdeshyat,
beyond the power of thinking.
Iti,
thus.
Keshu,
someone.
Api,
also.
Nishchaya,
definitely concluded.
Atra,
herein.
Anurupam,
which of them is right?
Raja Rishe,
O sage amongst the kings.
Vimrisha,
judge yourself.
Sva,
by your own.
Manishaya,
power of intelligence.
Translation and purport
by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. There are also some thinkers who believe that no one can ascertain the cause of distress by argumentation, nor know it by imagination, nor express it by words. O sage amongst kings, judge for yourself by thinking over all this with your own intelligence. Purport. The Vaishnavites, the devotees of the Lord, do believe, as explained above, that nothing can take place without the sanction of the Supreme Lord. He is the Supreme Director, for He confirms in the Bhagavad Gita 15:15 that He is all-pervading Paramatma, stays in everyone's heart, and keeps vigilance over all actions and witnesses all activities. The argument of the atheist that one cannot be punished for one's misdeeds unless proved before a qualified justice is refuted herein, for we accept the perpetual witness and constant companion of the living being. A living being may forget all that he might have done in his past or present life, but one must know that in the same tree of the material body, the individual soul and the super soul as Paramatma, the supreme soul as Paramatma, are sitting like two birds. One of them, the living being, is enjoying the fruits of the tree, whereas the supreme being is there to witness the activities. Therefore, the Paramatma feature, the supreme soul, is actually the witness of all activities of a living being, and only by his direction can the living being remember or forget what he might have done in the past. He is therefore both the all-pervading impersonal Brahman and the localized Paramatman in everyone's heart. He is the knower of all past, present, and future, and nothing can be concealed from him. The devotees know this truth, and therefore they discharge their duties sincerely without being overly anxious for rewards. Besides that, one cannot estimate the Lord's reactions either by speculation or by scholarship. Why does he put some into difficulty and not others? He is the supreme knower of the Vedic knowledge, and thus he is the factual Vedantist. At the same time, he is the compiler of the Vedanta. No one is independent of him, and everyone is engaged in his service in different ways. In the conditioned state, such services are rendered by the living being under the force of the material nature, whereas in the liberated state, the living being is helped by the spiritual nature in the voluntary, loving service of the Lord. There is no incongruity or iniquity in his actions. All are on the path of absolute truth. Bhishma Dev correctly estimated the inconceivable actions of the Lord. And the conclusion is, therefore, that the sufferings of the representative of religion and the representative of the earth, as present before Maharaj Parikshit, were planned to prove that Maharaj Parikshit was the ideal executive head, because he knew well how to give protection to the cows, the earth, and to the Brahmins' religious principles, the two pillars of spiritual advancement. Everyone is under the full control of the Lord. He is quite correct in his action when he desires something to be done by someone, irrespective of the consideration of the particular case. Maharaj Parikshit was thus put to test for his greatness. Now let us see how he solves it by his sagacious mind. Mandeha Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Bhadijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha Namaham Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschadya Deshatarine. So, everything is going on under the perfect direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We may not always understand ourselves, you see, because we're covered. But Krishna knows everything perfectly, and everything is going on perfectly under his direction. For what purposes are these things going on? Does Krishna want to torture us? No. Krishna simply wants us back. That's it. The torturing that we experience is our own foolishness. We are torturing ourselves by our own foolishness. Krishna is the well-wishing friend of all living entities. So whatever suffering I'm undergoing at the present moment here in this material existence is actually Krishna's kindness to help me realize I cannot be happy separate from him. Actually, we are meant to be in the Sakantara association of Krishna. That is our position. We are his eternal devotees. We are the eternal associates of Krishna. But so foolishly, we daydream that Would it be better if I was the Lord? Why do I have to be a servant of the Lord? So, Krishna gave us the chance to experience what it is like to try to enjoy separately from Him. And now we're suffering. We're suffering because of our stupid desire to want to enjoy separately from Krishna. So, Krishna is very kind. He gives us this knowledge, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. He sends the bona fide spiritual master to us to liberate us from this material existence by re-engaging us in our original constitutional position as the devotees of Krishna. So we should take advantage of the spiritual master's mercy. We should never disrespect the spiritual master. That is called hatimatta, mad elephant offense. Sometimes foolish disciples, they do that. They disrespect their spiritual master. They become offensive toward their spiritual master. So, such disciples are in a very dangerous position. Vaishnava aparad completely destroys one's spiritual consciousness, one's Krishna consciousness. So we must be very careful to always be respectful to our spiritual master. Vande Guru Shri Chadanada Vindam. You see, must always be bowing down at the feet of our spiritual master and worshipping him as the representative of God. It's a very, very important thing. It's not that he is God. No. He is servant of God. But he is the empowered representative of God. So he must be respected. That is the order of Krishna. That is the conclusion of all the great acharyas. Spiritual master, be representative as good as God. I remember when I first heard that, I was shocked. I was associating with the devotees, and His Holiness Vishnujana Swami said, "You have to take the spiritual master as good as God." I'm thinking, what? But then I thought about it. Well, actually, everything he speaks is the word teachings of Krishna. He's always engaged in the service of Krishna. So yes, I thought about it. It actually did make sense. I was shocked at first, but then it made sense to me. Because everything he's simply teaching me how to surrender to God. It's like the policeman, you see, when you're driving down the street and the policeman pulls you over. He might be your next door neighbor, you see. But when he's on duty, he is the government. You understand? If you disrespect the policeman, you have disrespected the government, and they can arrest you. Oh, you didn't respect, you didn't obey the police when they told you to pull over and you kept driving. They may chase you and they may shoot you even. So even though the policeman is an ordinary citizen like you, when he's on duty, he is the government. So the spiritual master is also a jiva soul. But when he's, because he's on duty 24 hours a day as the representative of Krishna, therefore he has to, just as you respect the policeman as being the government, you have to respect the spiritual master as being as God, as good as God. So in this way we can understand how to awaken our Krishna consciousness. Because Krishna is very far, far away. We cannot see Krishna with our present, blunt, materially contaminated senses. We're not able to see Krishna, not able to hear Krishna, although He's there. The self-realized souls can see Krishna, they can hear Krishna, they can talk with Krishna, they can dance with Krishna, everything. They have full access to fully associate with Krishna. But because we are conditioned souls, we don't have that access. We're covered by the modes of material nature. But we can see the spiritual master. You see, we can associate with the spiritual master. We can serve the spiritual master. We can inquire from the spiritual master. Therefore, the spiritual master is very much emphasized in the Vedic scriptures. very much emphasized. Tad viganartam sagarume vabhigatschev. If you want to know that absolute truth, you see, tad viganartam, then you must, absolutely must approach a bona fide spiritual master. Evam bhigatschev. In Sanskrit language, there are different verbal endings which give different meanings. For example, gachati means he goes. Gachanti means they go. Gachchet means must go. The same verbal root with different endings. It changes different meanings. He goes, they go, must go. So when the imperative, the must form is called the vidilin form of the verb. So when you say gachchet, there's no option. It's not an option. Well, I'll try to go. Yes, I'll try to go to the spirit. No, you must go. You see? No, I will try. No, you must. It's no question of trying. You have to. It's compulsory. You have to have a spiritual master if you want to realize the absolute truth. I tried on my own. I was thinking, well, I'll just be Krishna conscious. The time I was a singer-songwriter, I'll just write songs about Krishna and sing about Krishna. Like George Harrison, you know, My Sweet Lord, and, you know, chant the names of the Lord and you'll be free. I'll just continue my career as a singer-songwriter and sing about Krishna. Devotee said, no, you should surrender, become a disciple. I was thinking, no, I'll just be a devotee of Krishna. But then the devotee said, they gave me the title Prabhu because I'd done 10 back to, I distributed and penned 10 back to Godhead magazines. I got the title Steve Prabhu. Although later, there was a letter that came out that after that time, a letter came out. Prabhupada said, those who are not initiated should be called Bhakta and Bhaktin. Those who are not initiated yet. But that letter hadn't come out yet. So I got the title Steve Prabhu for doing 10 BGGs. So they said, Steve Prabhu, but see what it says here in the Bhagavad Gita? Actually, I shouldn't have been called Prabhu because I was not surrendered. Prabhu means a surrendered devotee, not someone who's thinking he can be independent. But anyway, they showed me in the Bhagavad Gita, you know, tadvidi praniprathena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshantiti jnanam ganindastapadarshanaha. Just try to learn the truth by approaching the spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively, render service unto him. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. Well, my hands were tied. I couldn't say anything, but was I going to do it? Nope. Stubborn. I was a stubborn case. No, I'm not going to do it. But I couldn't argue against it. You know, philosophically, I was defeated, but I still wasn't going to do it. You know. But then one day, one morning, now you know this, with this beautiful Govindamadi Purusham, that's on the Radha Krishna Temple album produced by George Harrison and the London Devotees. The second cut on that album was also very nice. Samsaradava nanadhira. You may have heard Loka Tranaya Karyunyag. No, when I joined ISKCON, that was not available yet. It hadn't been released by Apple Records yet, you see. But one day we were out on Harinam at some record station, person from record station. See, Apple Records sent that out to all the record stations at promotion. But one station, Austin, got it and said, we don't want to play this. It's too spiritual. You know, we want materialistic stuff, not spiritual. So they but there's some Hare Krishna guys here in town. They probably would like it. So they handed it to us. On Harinam, they handed it. Here, maybe you'd like to have this. We went, wow. We didn't know about it. George Harrison? And it's like, wow, it's unbelievable. The Beatles are getting into Krishna consciousness. Wow, we're going to take over the world. Any day now, you know. The Beatles are into it now. Wow. I mean, so anyway, we took that record album home and back to the temple, and well, we were playing that again and again. We had a little break. There was no cassettes yet available. No no CDs or MP3s. That was later. This was just the old 33 1/3 vinyl. That's all we had. The old 33 1/3 vinyl days, media. So we put on the record player there in the temple room. We were listening to it and playing it a lot, you know. And so my service was to vacuum the temple room rug. We were just a rental house. So we had a rug in the temple room, and I was vacuuming it. And I was hearing that song. Samsarada vanaladita loka shranaya. And it was just, I was going, so here I was, here I was the holdout. I'll be a devotee, but I'm not going to become a disciple. I was holding out, You see? But now, I was hearing, I was tuning, let's see, I think somebody, there's some feedback somewhere, let's see. Let me see here, there's somebody to be unmuted themselves.
All callers are muted.
Okay, that they've gotten rid of it. So, I was hearing the devotees, how they were singing to Prabhupada. I'd heard a lot of music. I was into music. I'd heard so many songs from this group and this singer and that singer. But there was something different. There was some flavor, some kind of rasa or taste. When the way they were singing Gravastika, I've never experienced in any other song or any other music, And no mundane song had that. Even the coolest mundane songs didn't come close to that feeling. It's called bhakti, you see. There was bhakti, shakti in that, the way they were singing. It was oozing out bhakti, shakti. And I was actually able to sense their feelings of love for Prabhupada, you see. And that their feelings of love for Prabhupada, it was such a pure, it wasn't like the love in the material world, which is nothing but lust. I love you. I lust after you, really. I lust after you. You see, it wasn't that kind of contaminated so-called love. This was pure love. And I was amazed. It was so sweet. It was so sublime to hear their offering of love to Prabhupada. It was so beautiful. It was so fantastic. It was so sublime. It was so divine. It was so ambrosial. What can I say? It was the sweetest, most wonderful thing I'd ever experienced to hear that love they had for Prabhupada. And, being an envious person that I was, I wasn't tasting that love, but they were. So I was envious. Of course, that's called spiritual envy, you see, transcendental envy. I wanted to experience that same feeling of love because it was so wonderful. It was so delightful. I wanted to be able to also experience that love. So I remember exactly what I said to myself, the exact words. I thought to myself, wouldn't it be beautiful if I gave my life to Prabhupada? And the tears just came streaming down my face. And that was it. Prabhupada entered my heart and I said, okay, I'm going to get initiated. that was a straw that broke the Mayavadi's back, as I said. I was a Mayavadi, actually. I was previously a Mayavadi philosopher. I'm God. We're all God. Mayavadi philosopher, But that was it. I became a Vaishnava. I would become a disciple. But then you had to wait for many months till you qualified. In my heart, I was a disciple from that very moment. Prabhupada also had explained when he first met Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He wasn't initiated. It was actually 11 years later that Prabhupada got initiated. But he said, Practically, he initiated me. So actually, Prabhupada, practically speaking, initiated me at that moment. I was initiated. I was practically speaking initiated by Prabhupada at that moment. Because at that moment, he entered into my heart. I gave my heart to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada entered into my heart. So that's when my spiritual life really took off like a rocket, you see. There are different stages. In the beginning, you have faith in the process. That's called Shraddha. And then you associate with devotees. That's called Sadhusanga. But then when you actually accept a guru, you see, that's the third step. That's called Bhajana Kriya. And that's when you really take off like a rocket. That's when your spiritual life really, you know, breaks through the stratosphere and enters into the Vaikuntha realm, you see, by the mercy of the spiritual master. You're no longer living in the material world. When you actually take shelter of a spiritual master, you are no longer living in the material realm. Now you're living in the world of Krishna, you see, completely taking shelter of your spiritual master. So in this way, we have to understand this process of Krishna consciousness, how to actually become happy in Krishna consciousness. Actually, Krishna consciousness means happiness. So what I'm really saying is how to actually become Krishna conscious. Some devotees never really get it. They never really understand. They don't remain either. But those who actually understand what is Krishna consciousness, they never leave. They are solidly dedicated for all of eternity. Not only this life, but forever. They never give it up. Those who've actually understood it, who've actually tasted it. Now, there's two things you can do with it. You have your tongue and you have a jar of honey. Okay? So there's two things you can do. You can either lick the outside of the jar, or you can open the lid and stick your tongue inside the jar. See, there's two ways. You see? So those who actually tasted Krishna consciousness, who've actually experienced it as it is, they've taken off the lid and they put their tongue inside the jar. Now we see many people who come, who are licking the outside of the jar. They think they're getting Krishna consciousness. But there's not really Krishna consciousness. That's the shadow of Krishna consciousness. They may come, they may go. You see? But those who actually get that taste of what is Krishna consciousness, they never leave. They never leave. They remain eternally at the shelter of lotus feet of Guru and Krishna. They never, ever leave. They may have some difficulties in their neophyte stage, but they never give up the process. They stick with it. In this way, they become perfect, and they go back to home, back to Godhead. So, I can ask if there's any questions. Here's one. And our internet audience also is welcome. Okay, what is a practical way of taking instructions of the Guru seriously and not to be lax and lethargic? Well, you just have to think of the best way I recommend is to study the Bhagavad Gita. And this is the classic example of Guru-disciple relationship. Krishna is Guru, Arjuna is disciple. You can see the difficulties that Arjuna went through because he was carried away by bodily sentiments, and that prevented him from actually doing what his spiritual master wanted him to do. So we can understand that bodily sentiments sometimes get in the way of doing what we're meant to do. But then we can see when he actually realized the truth of Krishna consciousness, philosophy, is taught by Krishna himself. Then he became completely dedicated warrior on the battlefield. He endeavored like anything, with great enthusiasm, determination, and patience. He dedicated himself fully to fighting the battle as Krishna ordered him to do that. So you have to take whatever order your spiritual master has given you. And you have to think, now I have to become like Arjuna, fully dedicated to serving my spiritual master's order, whatever it may be. How can one be earnestly attached to devotees? Well, our nature is to be attached. You can't really change that. That's an intrinsic part of the living being. He has a nature to be attached. So he has to be attached to those things which actually benefit him. That's intelligence. So association to Krishna, attached to Krishna, attached to the holy name, attached to Prasadam, attached to Krishna consciousness, attached to Guru, attached to Vaishnavas. These are favorable for our spiritual advancement. So how do you actually develop them? How do you cultivate? Well, having the desire is one thing. I should desire to become attached to devotees. So the most important thing is never be offensive towards devotees. Even if there's a disagreement, I respectfully disagree with you. Never be offensive, because that breaks the feeling of attachment. We should feel like we're a family. We are a family. We're a worldwide family of devotees. We should feel attached to each other as family members, Prabhupada's family. So even if I disagree, I should never become offensive towards another devotee. And I respectfully disagree with them. You see, we may disagree sometimes, but we must always maintain the respect. Okay. Now, from New Zealand, we have a question coming in. How do you know if you are getting Krishna consciousness or you're merely licking the outside of the jar? That's a good question. How do you know if you're getting Krishna consciousness or you're just licking the outside of the jar? Well, there's different ways you can see. If someone never leaves, you know they were actually licking. But how do I know right now? If I'm really getting it, I'm just licking the outside of the jar. There's a nice verse in the Bhagavatam which will help you to understand the answer for this. Bhakti pareshanyu bhava varaktir anyat jatai shatrika eka kalaha prapadyamanashyatasthanashu shtushti pujishashavanagasha. Devotional service or bhakti experiencing Krishna everywhere and becoming detached from material sense gratification. All three of these occur simultaneously for one who is awakening, for one who is, we can say, licking the inside. So if you're actually developing feelings, if your heart is actually becoming soft, that you're developing feelings of love for Krishna, that you actually love Krishna, you feel some love for him, you look at his picture and you feel some loving sentiments, and you become conscious of Krishna in so many ways. He's the light of the sun, he's the taste of the water, he's the sound in the ether, he's the ability in man, he's the purifiers, he's the wind. If you become more and more conscious of Krishna within everything, and you become more and more detached from material sense gratification, then you can know that you're actually getting your awakening in Krishna consciousness. Feelings of love for Krishna, becoming more and more conscious of Krishna in everything that you do and everywhere that you go, and becoming disinterested in material sense gratification. If you're having these things, these are happening for you, then you actually are licking the inside of the jar, and you're in a very good position. Okay. How do you know that you're not... Now, there's the same question in a different way. The opposite way. How do you know you're not licking the outside of the bottle, not getting the actual thing? So it's the opposite side. Well, how do I know? How do I see from the other side? If I'm doing this, if I'm experiencing this, I know I'm the inside. Well, it's simple. If your heart is not becoming softer towards the idea, the thoughts of Krishna, you're not able to think of Krishna at all, remember him in any situation. There's no remembrance of Krishna coming for you during your day, and you're just completely attached to material sense gratification, then you're on the outside of the bottle. Give me an example to distinguish between the soul and the subtle body. Okay. Just like we have our outerwear, just like a brahmachari, he has his dhoti, and he has his kopans, his underwear, Brahman underwear, kopanis. And then there's the body. So there's the body, there's the underwear, and there's the outerwear. You see? The underwear is a covering, and the outerwear is a covering of the body. So in the same way, the soul is like the body, the subtle body is like the underwear, and the gross body is like the outerwear. How do you choose a spiritual master? How did I choose one? Well, there was no choice. I joined. Prabhupada was the spiritual master, and that was it. And you either become a devotee or you don't become a devotee. But now in ISKCON, there's what, about maybe 100, maybe 108, I don't know how many, but a growing number, 100 spiritual masters. So what do? Put the names in the hat and pull out one? How do you choose one? You see?
Krishna has given the answer.
What's your answer?
Krishna has given the answer.
Yeah, what's
Fire the from the spiritual master. Go render service to him. Wherever you get this opportunity, that's your spiritual master.
All right, so whatever spiritual masters are there, you inquire for them, you render service. Whenever you have the opportunity to associate with a spiritual master, inquire from him, render service, and then it'll be very, very clear to you where you feel the strongest connection with Krishna. Who inspires you the most in your Krishna consciousness? The principle is you should accept whatever is favorable for Krishna consciousness and reject whatever is unfavorable. So which guru inspires you the most to chant Hare Krishna? To serve Krishna, to surrender to Krishna. That's the one you should accept. Okay, what happens in the consciousness of the devotee after diksha initiation? Because I experienced that past initiation I had more difficulties with my anartas. So this devotee is saying, well, after I got initiated it became more difficult for me than before initiation. So that's what happened to him. So he's wondering what is in the consciousness. Well, I can't psychoanalyze this particular devotee because I don't know this devotee. I haven't spoken with him to see exactly what he's talking about. But when you get initiated, now your commitment is very solid and there's no backing out. You've made your commitment. So that could be a factor that helps you to really see anartas you couldn't see before. The anartas were already there, and now you're more conscious of them. It's not that you be just like, let's say you went traveling all over the world for about 5 years, and you came back to your house. Looked a little bit unkempt, so we got to do some cleaning. You start cleaning, and you realize, boy, this is a lot dirtier than I thought. So initiation can be like that. And now it's time for some serious house cleaning. And I didn't realize I was this dirty. You see? I was dirty, but I just didn't realize it. So now you're initiated. The difficulties were already there. You just didn't realize they were there. But now that you made that serious commitment to become pure, now you're seeing the anartas like you didn't realize you had them. That's one way of understanding it. Okay. Now, from Mauritius, a question has come in. Why is it that the deity of Radha Krishna takes offense where the deity of Gaurinathai do not? And we know that they are the same personality. Gaurinathai, or the Lord Chaitanya, actually, is the most merciful manifestation Sri Chaitanya, Sri Chaitanya Nityan, what is that? Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. Lord Chaitanya is the combined form of Radha and Krishna. So why is it that Lord Chaitanya is more merciful than Radha and Krishna when they're actually the same? When Radha and Krishna are in their most merciful mood, that is Lord Chaitanya. That's the difference. There are different moods.
Doesn't it show that also when Lord personally came as a devotee, so devotee is more merciful than the Lord himself?
Yes, Krishna is showing that actually the devotee is more merciful than the Lord himself. So when Krishna takes the form of a devotee, he's more merciful than when he's Krishna. Krishna says, you want my mercy? You have to surrender. Then you get my mercy. Lord Chaitanya said, here's the mercy. That's it. See the difference? Krishna made a condition. You want the mercy? All right, sarvaraman pradipyaja. You surrender to me, you get the mercy. And as much as they surrender to me, I reward them accordingly. But Lord Chaitanya made no condition. I reward you, even if you're the worst rakshasa in all the three worlds, here I reward you. Jagai madai, you see? So that's the difference. Krishna makes a condition. Lord Chaitanya makes no condition. Okay, progress is necessary in Krishna consciousness. How does one gauge advancement without developing pride or an ego? Actually, you should see that you're advancing in Krishna consciousness. And that advancement means you're becoming more humble. So you may think, well, if I see that I'm more humble, I'll get puffed up thinking I'm more humble. But, no. One who advances in Krishna consciousness does develop humility, but he never thinks, by my own intelligence, my own strength, no, by the mercy of my spiritual master, is it? The more you advance in Krishna consciousness, the more you feel completely dependent on the mercy of your spiritual master and Krishna and the devotees. You see? You think, by their mercy, by their kindness, I'm making progress. Okay, so now a question from New Zealand. How do we know if our feeling of love for Krishna is real or it's merely sentimental? Actually, even sentiments are good. But sentiments are not good enough. The difference between sentiment and love is this. Someone says, I really love Prabhupada, but, you know, I don't chant my rounds. I really love Prabhupada. He's great, but I don't chant my rounds. I do smoke marijuana every now and then, but I really love Prabhupada. You see what I'm saying? It's a sentiment. And many people say, yeah, Prabhupada's great, but they don't follow his instructions. So the difference between sentiment and love is, and when you love someone, you obey them. You see. You may feel something for someone, that's good. But when you obey them, strictly obey their instructions, then you truly love them. So, if you are strictly obeying the orders of your spiritual master, then yes, you do love your guru. You do love Krishna. You see. You do love Prabhupada. If you are strictly following the instructions, that's the difference. So if you are obediently, if you are following your initiation vow, this is my disciple, then you truly love me. If you are following the initiation vow. So in this way, you truly love Krishna, you truly love Guru, if you keep your initiation vows. Okay. Here's a question from Pretoria. Sometimes the spiritual master acts mysteriously to us, not replying to letters for months, not doing what he said he would do to help us, etc., and it is hard not to take to be effective. Maybe we feel as if we have to become independent and more detached from his guidance. Why would the guru act like this, and why? What should we do to keep our faith? This is a very personal question, obviously. Some devotee is having some difficulty. He's feeling cut off from his spiritual master because he's not getting any answers. When Prabhupada was here, in the beginning days of ISKCON, every devotee had unlimited access to Srila Prabhupada. You could go anytime you want, you could walk into his room, sit down and ask him questions. I mean, everybody had full access. You could write him. At one point, he even had a telephone in his room, but then he got rid of it. He could call him up. He stopped that right away. He didn't like that aspect of modern communications. Someone just called up, "How are you doing, Prabhupada?" And they didn't want to chat on the telephone. It's not the spiritual master. Yet. So, but then later on, the movement got big. You see, there were so many devotees, so many, and he needed time to write his books. So when I joined, actually, anybody who wanted to could write Prabhupada a letter and get an answer directly from Prabhupada. It was a really wonderful time. But then shortly after that, the policy changed. And Prabhupada said, if you have any questions, you ask the temple president, you ask the sannyasi, and you know that's how you should get your questions answered. And then the sannyasis, the GBCs, the temple presidents, they would write Prabhupada to understand how they can guide the other devotees properly. So I was kind of disappointed because I had already gotten a few letters directly from Prabhupada. And I was a bit of an independently minded Ramachari. A bit of a little bit, you could say, wild, I wrote him anyway. I violated the policy because I just had to. I wanted that contact with Prabhupada. I just wanted it. I desperately felt I needed to have that direct contact with him. And so I wrote him anyway, and I didn't put my name on the return address. But hopefully he would get through the security, and Prabhupada would get the letter. It wouldn't be weeded out. Like he would never see it. But actually he did see it, and he answered me in the most wonderful way. He reminded me of the new policy. But he said this. He said, "But if there's any urgent need, I'm always happy to hear from my beloved disciples." Wow, I had a loophole. Prabhupada told me if I had an urgent need, forget the policy, you can write me and I'd be happy to hear from you. Wow, Prabhupada's love, his kindness, just see. And then he gave me another tip. He said, if you will engage in the devotional service of the Lord with full sincerity of attitude, 24 hours a day, then Krishna will personally come and answer all of your questions. So what can I say to this devotee whose guru is obviously so busy with so many responsibilities, doing this and that, so caught up in so many projects and doing so many things, it's hard for him to keep up with his correspondence. What can I say? Your guru has not rejected you. But it's a practical matter of how much time he has in the day. So don't feel your guru has rejected you. He loves you. He cares about you. You should try, most gurus have like a counselor system or somebody you can, now in my case, my disciples can all write me directly. I directly communicate with all my students. Even my non-disciples, I have 16,000 people in my e-course, and I answer all of them personally, any questions they ask me. I spend a lot of time answering correspondence every day. Actually, I'm trying to write an autobiography. I don't have any time. I'm answering so many emails all the time. I have very little time to work on my autobiography. But other gurus have, you know, some gurus have like thousands of disciples. I only have 200. I'm a small guru. Only got 200 disciples. Some gurus have, you know, thousands and thousands of disciples. So how do you answer? So they set up counselor systems. So you can, you know, a representative of the guru, you can write them. So I don't know about this particular devotee. His guru may have a counselor system. He can write somebody within his particular spiritual, you know, family, and get some guidance. So this is a very personal thing, I can't say. But I'm just giving you some principles. But if there's some difficulty, you're having difficulty, you're not able to get in touch with your spiritual master, ask another senior devotee. Ask another one of the spiritual masters who's available. We don't want you to go away feeling, you know, that no one loves you or no one cares about you, no one wants to help you. You can write me if there's any difficulty. I love you, I care about you. So if you have some difficulty, you can always write me. And maybe I can help you get connected with a counselor within your guru's community. Something like that. So, now we have from Malaysia. Oh, no question. Just Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna from Malaysia. Let's see if I missed any questions here. Scroll back here in the chat window and see if we got any questions I missed. No? That's it. We got all the questions. We've actually gone over time, haven't we, a little bit? All right, so that's it. We thank you all very much for your participation in this movement. And may Krishna bless you with unlimited happiness of Krishna consciousness at every minute. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Gaura Premanandi.